Which one of you will survive this year's purge?
Hello and welcome to episode 121 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Pachko and Angie Han.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
All right, so this week we have a supersized Purge episode for you. Our main review is going to be in the new movie, The Purge Election Year, and then we're going to do a little hot topic discussing what we might do if we were in The Purge. So before we get to that, let's talk about the movie. Angie, you are hosting that section.
All right, so here is the synopsis. 2 years after choosing not to kill the man who killed his son, former police sergeant Barnes, oh, I didn't even know that was his name, has become head of security for Senator Charlene Roan, the frontrunner in the next presidential election due to her vow to eliminate the purge.
This is crap, by the way. That's not what the synopsis is.
That's accurate. What are you talking about? I mean, other than not realizing that Frank Grillo had a name besides Grillo in this movie.
I don't know if his last name is Barnes. I know
he
his
was
first
credited
name is
on
Leo.
IMDb as Sergeant.
I know his first name in the movie is Leo, and it's also Senator Rowan.
Well, no, her name is Charlene, but they call her Charlie.
Let's not get hung up on the names. Let's not get hung up on the names, otherwise it is reasonably accurate. But
how I feel about bad IMDb synopses, so
sure. We should start a spin-off podcast where you just read IMDb synopses and
no
then explain to
that.
Us how
that
wrong
they are.
That would
be like a hot new thing. It's an untapped market. Do that.
It's a part of our podcast I'm ashamed of every week that we can't help ourselves. We're always like, this is a bad idea.
I always try to stop you guys. You guys are the worst at that.
It is. It's terrible. Anyway, so this movie,
so this
it's
movie.
Terrible.
Okay, so, spoiler alert. So The Purge is kind of a weird series. Like, the first one, which was just called The Purge, was a pretty standard home invasion thriller, but it did introduce the idea that, like, for one night a year, all crime is legal for 12 hours. And then the second one took the action outside and became more overtly political, and this one builds on that to the point where it actually feels... Like the second one feels a little bit like both of them, but this one feels radically different from the first one. It's actually kind of surprising to me how much this series has changed as it's gone on. This one feels almost more like a dystopian drama, like almost like Hunger Games with a little bit more horror elements. Mm-hmm. But I don't really mean that in a good way necessarily, because one thing about this movie is that like everything the second movie did pretty well, because I thought it was a better I thought it was a better movie. Everything the second movie did really well, this one does worse. There's the supporting characters are more thinly drawn. The acting is worse. There's a lot of overacting to the point where I don't even really hold the actors responsible for it. Like, I feel like the director must have just been saying, go bigger, go bigger. Frank Grillo is still really solid, and he's one of the only things about this movie that works all the time. The dialogue has gotten, the tone has gotten more overtly political, but the dialogue has gotten more on the nose. I just feel like on every level, I'm not saying this is a terrible movie or that it has no winning qualities, but it is kind of like a worse version of the second
movie. I'm saying it's a terrible movie. It's like...
I'm with you.
I agree with you, though, like, because I thought the second movie was really interesting, and the writer-director has said that the second movie is what he wanted to make the first time around, but he needed kind of a proof of concept. So the first one was kind of like a smaller, cheaper movie to show the idea of the purge in a cool way. And then the second movie took that to really interesting places and actually had really interesting characters that I was invested in, and the whole class warfare, racial injustice thing, that worked really well. In this one, I feel like there's a movie between 2 and 3 that we didn't get to enjoy, because characters have backstories that sound interesting but have nothing to do with anything.
Well, it's a whole new cast of characters besides Frank Grillo. That's the only character from the past.
Yeah.
No, that's the just come back. The leader of the resistance group.
Bishop? He's barely a character in the last one. He's barely a character in this one.
He's still... I guess, yeah.
Fine. All right, so Frank Grillo and this other guy comes back.
But basically, the guy who plays Bishop in this one, they couldn't get Michael Kenneth Williams back, and I don't know if that's because of money or scheduling or whatever, but so they basically decide that his character, Carmelo Jones, who was like a resistance leader in the last movie, isn't in this one, and he has like a new guy who's taken over for him. And the guy who plays him is fine, but like Michael Kenneth Williams has... instant, like, he oozes charisma, he's immediately interesting, and he had created a really curious character in the last movie, and I felt like this one misses that sense of character development, period. Because, like, most of the characters felt one note, if even one note, and it's just very frustrating, because then they're just symbols of, like, the hardworking Mexican immigrant, and you're like, beyond that, what can you say about Carlos? He's a crack shot, and he's from Mexico.
Yeah, and that's where having an actor like Frank Grillo comes in, or even Michael Kenneth Williams comes in really useful, because it's not like Frank Grillo has, like, so much to do, but he's one of those actors that can take a role that's relatively flat and then bring a lot of life to it, and the other actors don't have as good luck as he does in making that happen.
Frank Grillo doesn't really have anything to do with it in this. And first, just to quickly clarify, because I was wrong, his last name is, what was it? Is Barnes in the movie. So I'll give IMDb just a little bit of credit.
Well.
Yeah,
but anyway, look who has egg on her face now.
I don't want to give this movie any credit at all because... So the first movie, when I reviewed it, I did not like it. And then I saw it again and again and again, and it grew on me. And I started to appreciate the fact that it explored the Purge.
Can we back up a second? Why would you watch a movie that you don't like that many times?
Because I had seen it. I remember exactly why, actually. I had seen it as part of a promotional event for the site that I was working for at the time that hosted it, but I had already agreed to take a guest to the all media. So I kind of had locked myself into seeing it twice, but I wound up enjoying it more and more the more I saw it. I really like the idea of starting small in a way to kind of ground this absolutely insane event that makes no sense whatsoever, because when you contain it in this teeny tiny bubble, that's kind of the best shot you have at making people believe it as a real thing, and it does. And then it was a smart move that he did that and then slowly expanded the world and added characters and brought it out into the streets, and that worked as a horror action movie. I don't know what the hell this garbage is, but it is awful. I was miserable throughout this entire movie, and I'm a big fan of this franchise. This is another one of my most anticipated movies of the summer. Aww. I was so pumped about it. I wanted to have some, you know, crazy Purge fun, and this was just like being beaten over the head with the most surface level political messages I've ever seen in my life. There's one character who purges because she wants a fucking candy bar.
Yeah,
and she's just says
like a, she's like a Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones level sociopath. Perry, we need to watch a good movie for next week because you need a win. This
movie has some of the most bizarre behavior ever, and
it does.
The reason to me that the other two movies work a lot better is obviously because the characters in those movies are better. Like, you believe their chemistry, you believe them as people, they have backstory. For example, Frank Grillo's character is wrestling with the fact of whether or not to purge in the last movie because of something that happened in his life. In this movie, he's just out to save the senator. That's it. That's all he does from start to finish.
Because
he's
the senator wants to stop the purge. But, like, it's just the most, like you said, the politics of this movie are so, they're so on the nose, there's nothing to think about. Like, the bad guys are the new founding fathers. They're mostly male. They're all white. And they talk about things like purging and purifying, and they talk about like wiping out the lower class, and there's like a lot of and they employ white power, white supremacists. Like they
White supremacists,
and that's the same problem with her character too. Mm-hmm. Is that she's the exact opposite. She is all about just stopping the purge and being perfect and doing the right thing and all that stupid shit. And it was a really easy way to fix this. All you had to do was introduce the fact, because the reason she's a senator and she's trying to get rid of the purge is because her family was killed in a previous purge. You know what you do? All of a sudden in the middle of the movie when things are going to shit, you bring that back to her mind. Like, is she angry? Should she purge? And then Frank Grillo takes what he learned from the second movie and he's like, no, that's
a very good point.
I would rather watch this movie.
Why couldn't someone have done that?
You're right, because it's like, they introduce it at the beginning. They, like, start, they're like, 18 years ago, this horrible thing happened, and then I thought they'd go back to it, but they don't.
They
don't go back to any interesting idea they come up with in this movie. Like, another thing I found really interesting was purge tourism.
Yeah, murder tourism.
They introduce that. That's a really interesting concept, and they bring it back in the cheapest way possible that makes no... It's really satisfying at all. They introduce the use of a drone during the purge.
Oh, right.
That could have been a really interesting futuristic tactic.
But it lasts
tactic.
Like all of like a minute. You're totally right.
That lasts a whole 2 seconds.
You are then, making me dislike this movie more than when I started.
I have a lot of purge ideas. Someone should let me write a purge movie because I have million and one ideas.
That's actually
for
what
better
I said
sequels.
In my review for Comic Book Resources was I said that I know that these movies are all written and directed by James DeMonaco. Like, that's his thing. But I feel like
has he done all of them?
Yeah.
Then how did they even get? How did this one get so much dumber than the last one?
I don't know, because I interviewed him for the second, and I walked out of that trailer like just absolutely delighted. He is such a nice, smart guy, full of really great ideas. I think I'm most upset about this movie because I'm so shocked that this is what we got after all this. Because, I mean, based on the conversation I had with him at that point, I did not see the franchise heading in this direction. This movie is just filled with so many stupid things that are just there because they look cool. Like, at one point, a car full of purgers drives up to wreck a deli, and the car is draped in Christmas lights.
See, I love that.
How do they get out of the car without ruining the Christmas lights? No, but it showed when there's
a close-up. But that was something I actually thought was interesting because it looked like almost like a Spring Breakers nightmare or something. But it was like visually interesting. It gave me something that was actually cool to look at, as opposed to so much of this movie where it's just people walking around with grimaces on their faces and guns on their shoulder. But like what I'm saying is, I think James DeMonaco created an interesting world, but he is not a good enough filmmaker to make this for like better. And so I feel like at this point, they need to, like, if Blumhouse wants to keep making these movies, they need to pass it off to somebody who has a sharper writer, who's a sharper director, because this is just, like, this is fucking mediocre nonsense.
I mean, I actually disagree.
I think the first one shows the fact that he's a good filmmaker and he can build character and shoot something in a way that serves the characters while also making a decent action film. Whereas this was like all these cool ideas that all of a sudden he got to do because he's created a successful franchise, got to his head, and he completely overdid it. This movie plays like a murder music video where every single time he thinks of a cool looking shot, it's got to slow, and it's got to be a cool angle, and you pump up the music. It has, none of this cares about story or the politics at all. It's just about introducing big, bold ideas and big, bold images and being, look at what I can do.
I mean, it kind of feels like he just maybe had so many ideas that he didn't really know how to edit them down, because, like, all the stuff you're saying, like, you're right. He brings up a lot of interesting ideas, and then he sticks with the most, like, basic one, and like, not for nothing, the one that makes it easiest to have a movie where people go around killing each other. Because that's the other thing that was kind of weird about this movie, is that, like, so, you know, the premise of these movies is that the Purge is a bad thing. Like, you're not supposed to be, like, happy that it exists. But especially, like, the audience that Christy and I saw it with, like, they would like, cheer every time, like, somebody got, like, brutally murdered. And it's just, like, it's not that this tension is unique to the Purge, but there is this, like, weird, awkward coexistence between, like, you know, on the one hand, you're watching a movie and people are, like, dying in creative ways, and that's, like, exciting and fun to watch. And on the other hand, you're supposed to feel horrible about it. But I feel like he's kind of done, like, since he's kind of tried to have it both ways, like, I don't think it's really effective in either direction.
Well, this movie has a really mean-spirited tone to it also. It's, like, back in the original movie, one of the most interesting things about The Purge was how they put the spin on it, how it could be better for the country. And, like, really, you know, you punch a wall or you throw something and you feel better for a split second. That idea is kind of interesting, whereas all of the people that are advocating for The Purge in this movie are presented as someone akin to the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
They're all these maniacal Looney Tunes who just, all they want to do is kill, kill, kill. It's weird and it doesn't belong here.
Well, the politics got a lot dumber. One of the things that really drives this movie is the idea that the Purge is much worse for people who are, like, you know, disadvantaged in other ways, like people of color or poor people or, like, women, or, like, you know, it's a lot worse for those people. And this movie keeps harping on that, but not in a way that I feel like it's expanding on anything, like, in a way where I was like, yeah, no, we figured this out, like, in the last two movies, like, it's okay, you can, like, build on that now. But it keeps harping on that, and then to make it worse, like, the two heroes are two white people who are just, like, constantly surrounded by people of color and, like, out to save them and, like, telling, like, people of color, like, oh, you're better than this, like, don't give in to the temptation to purge. And it's, you know, like, I feel like I understand his good intentions. I don't think that he means anything, like, weird or malicious by it, but it does feel really tone deaf.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. There's, like, moments about race in this movie that feel not great when you see who directed it. Like, there's one joke about, like, black people loving fried chicken, and we're just like, it's 2016. Like, even if people in our theater laughed, I don't care. That joke is so tired. It doesn't belong.
That was right
here.
After, also, like, they a lot of black people in this movie use the word Negro. And it's just kind of like, we know what word you're trying to avoid. You needed to either have the balls to just use it and like defend that, or you needed to not use it at all.
Which is kind of hilarious because they, like, this movie, I was actually surprised why, I don't feel like this movie is especially violent considering the context. But they curse, really, like, a blue streak. That, what's funny is, like, they don't just say fuck. It's like every time they say fuck, it sounds like a 12-year-old saying it, where they're like, fuck! And you're like, no, I get it. You're really excited to say this word. And they also throw around the word cunt, like, a
and
lot.
And cocksucker. They say the word cocksucker, like, 54 times in this
I'm
movie.
I'm pretty sure we're just talking about the candy bar girl at this point.
No, it's not just her. But it's like this stupid thing. Well, it's like they introduce one of the founding fathers as being like, how close is the cunt coming? And everybody in the theater started laughing because you're just like, he's just so evil. He literally had to spit that word out as his introduction.
But that's what I mean by, like, I feel like the director was just like, go bigger, say cunt and cocksucker more times.
Yeah, we have
before
an R rating, go for it.
Wrap up the review. The one audible reaction that my theater had that I was actually in on is when there's one, I think her name is Lainey, the one character.
Describe her.
She's with the deli guy, and she's really brave, and she rides in a triage van all over on Purge Night. She helps people. So, yeah, she's really badass. She's really cool, and she's got this one sequence that, whether you're into the movie or not, it's going to have you cheering no matter what. That could have easily have been the main character, the breakout star of this movie, except for the fact that at some point, someone hints that she's got a really dark past, and then we never learn what that is.
And how much more interesting would this movie be if we did follow around this person with a really dark past that sounds very different from Frank Grillo's or Ethan Hawke's in the last two movies?
And she disappears for the entire climax.
Yeah. She disappears for long stretches of the movie. But yeah, so to wrap up, I feel like, I mean, it sounds like we're all saying, eh, just skip this one.
Yeah, it's such a mess. I'm really disappointed. Go rewatch the first and the second. I guarantee you, you'll appreciate the first one more so going back and watching it now, if you even didn't like it before, more than you would like seeing this for the first time.
I don't know what we're reviewing next week, but Perry, I hope to God it's not another thing that was on your most anticipated list.
You know, I hope to God
Pets, right?
I hope to God Secret Life of Pets fills my life with pure joy right now, because Independence Day and Purge are ruining me.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Are we ready to move into the hot topic?
Yeah, let's end on a higher note.
Yeah, so none of us want you to see the Purge election year. It's garbage. But our hot topic, not what would we do if there was a Purge, because I think all three of us would hide. I would run to Canada for a while. But what if you were going to purge, you're committing to that, how would you purge?
Well, I most certainly wouldn't kill anyone or anything, but I would probably go rob an Apple store.
That was what I
said. Exactly what Chrissy said. Like,
really?
Word for word.
Oh,
I talked to her about this beforehand.
I like stuff, and that's actually a more interesting movie to me. Like, could you imagine, like, a different take on The Purge where it didn't have to be about killing? Because think about all the other things you could do on Purge Night. Everything, crime is legal. Go for it.
I really want to watch, like a PG-13 coming-of-age movie about a bunch of kids. It's like a Stand By Me, but on Purge Night, where they just want to go and steal cool Funko Pop shit and then, try not to get murdered.
Endless good ideas like this.
All right,
that's brilliant.
Christy, what's yours?
I would totally loot, but like as I said to Angie earlier, I don't know, I'd rob like the Apple store and H&M, and she made fun of me.
I got really mad at Christy
because
when
I picked
said H&M,
a discount clothing store to rob.
You're literally not paying for it. Go like loot a more expensive store. What the fuck are you doing?
Stores.
I'd probably rob a pet store also and just, like, stock up on fancy stuff for Dewey.
All right, but Perry, you'd have to steal a car, too, because your car is teeny.
She could fit
You'd be
in
surprised
there.
How much cat food you could fit into the Mini Cooper.
I was surprised how many people you think you can fit into the Mini Cooper, but, like, I've sat on your seat buckles enough to know that you're wrong.
All right, I just want to say, you guys, this is, like, some amateur hour bullshit, okay? Like, you gotta plan this shit ahead of time. First of all, I would not just go blindly to H&M and just start picking up, like, $5 scarves. Like, I would have a plan. I would be, like, looking online for, like, months beforehand and be like, I want that dress. It is $400.
Like, it's Black
I'm gonna
Friday.
Fucking pick it up on Purge Night. You're out for 12 hours. You have a lot of time. The other thing that I want to do that's not looting is, so I work from home, and sometimes a car alarm goes off on my block, and then no one fucking shuts it off, and what I'm gonna fucking do is, like, write down the license plate, track down these people, and then on Purge night, just go to each of the cars and just smash all the windows
That's
in.
That's genius. You guys
are so bad at purging. Like, I would be so much better. I wouldn't actually kill anyone or hurt any people, but, like, I feel like, yeah.
That'd be really intense. I want that, like, on that note, I would definitely like to track down people that, like, blaze through crosswalks and stuff, or like cut through bike lanes and just photo like that. That could be like a whole group of people. See, that's what I'm saying. There's so many
What are you trying to do? You're trying to hit people at crosswalks?
People that are dick drivers to pedestrians. If you take like photos of like their screen of their license plates, and then on Purge night you just find their cars and wreck the shit out of them. Like, I could see that being like a whole, like, a bunch of Williamsburg cyclists would totally do that. See, this is what I'm saying. That Purge is such a fun world to play in. It doesn't have to be all, like, murder and super overt 99% politics. Because, like, that was... At one point, she's like, I'm going to do what 99% of the world does on Purge night.
I just thought of something else I want to do.
We get it.
No. The 1%. I thought of something else I want to do. I want to follow Parrot and break in all the pet stores, but I'm just going to play with the pets. I don't want to take them home, because then I'd have to take care of a pet all the time.
Okay. Can I come with you?
Yeah, no, that's what I said. We're going to go together. We're going to go to the pet store. We're going to just, like, play with all the cats and dogs and, like, all the cute animals.
That's the PG version of the Purge.
Needs to
see,
fund
the,
our web
the
series
Purge is
of
for all
and
ages.
Prosecco goes purging. It's me with H&M using my phone as a flashlight to see if I like the patterns on the clothing I'm trying to steal. This is actually the best Hot Topic idea ever.
Thank you, Kristen.
Oh, I wonder if there's, like, some way I could, like, use the Purge to get Hamilton tickets.
Ooh.
Can I? Ooh. Huh.
I'm trying to think of things that I really want now.
I mean, that would be a thing. Like, I could rob a bank to get Hamilton tickets.
Ooh. See, this is how shit happens, like, in the movie. Because it started so gently, like, Christy being like, I might steal a $15 lipstick from Sephora. And then now she's all like, I'm going to rob a fucking bank. That is how this happens.
Yeah, I realize
guys.
Now that my Purge thing is just what teenagers do. Where, like, teenagers, like, shove something. Because, like, I've worked at The Gap. I know teenagers steal shit all the time. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, I would shoplift. I'm so tough.
I kind of want to keep talking about this for the next half hour, but I feel like we should probably wrap up soon. Yeah, any other last-minute Purge ideas? Ooh, let's tamper with mail. It's a federal crime, but not on Purge night. I don't even know what I would do with it. I guess just, like, grab it out of the mailbox and drop it in a different mailbox. Like, I don't want it. I just want to see, like...
God.
What am I going to do with it?
Purge night hooligans is what we are. Look out, world.
All right, well... Yeah, that's a wrap on episode 121 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You take what you want from this. You guys know where to find us. We are on iTunes, where you can rate, comment, and subscribe. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. Please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. And then all three of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, do you want to go first?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko. That's KristyPuchko. And I write all over the web. You can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me, I forgot where I am, on Twitter and Instagram at PNemiroff, and my writing's on Collider.com. I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel, and I apologize because I feel like I've been yelling at my computer this entire episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual Purge.